Welcome to Life Talk, a series of thought-provoking podcasts specifically developed to thoroughly enrapture, dynamically expand, and potentially enrich your life by challenging your heart. And now, here's Craig.
We all talk about independence, but what is independence in its truest form? Yeah, what's independence? Well, it seems that whatever it is, we deeply cherish it. Independence seems to be an inseparable part of our humanity. We see independence as an inalienable right that is just right. There's a sense that humanity dies in the chafing chains of slavery, whatever those chains might be, and that humanity inexpressibly flourishes when those chains are shattered. Whenever independence is absent, stolen, or denied, we sense that a gross injustice has occurred and that this injustice needs to be righted. Throughout the span of human history, independence withheld has resulted in an innumerable number of uprisings, revolts, and revolutions that literally changed cultures and transformed history itself. But with all that said, what is independence in actuality? Well, the Encarta Dictionary describes it as freedom from dependence on or control by another person, organization, or state. So at its core, then, it's freedom from dependence or control. It grants self-autonomy and self-directedness free of encumbrances. Independence provides the space and the freedom to craft and shape a life in a manner that maximizes the gifting of the individual and the resources that are available to that individual. But despite all that, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we forfeit independence. And I want to look at some ways that we forfeit independence. One is through fear and self-esteem. Most of us are constrained, living less than fully independent lives. We live bound in prisons typically of our own making that stifle independence and in some cases kill it altogether. We become more bound by fears of innumerable description and we become shackled by low self-esteem. We pledge allegiance to mediocrity because it's safe and demands little of us other than the extinguishing of our passion. We forfeit a vision and settle for erecting fences around us that keep the world out but lock us in. Our goal is safety, and the absolute avoidance of failure, which completely rules out risk. It rules out anything smacking of adventure, and it rules out all actions that are less than entirely predictable. I think we also forfeit independence through fear. In sorting it all out, the constraints that appear most rampant are fear and low self-esteem. While we fear many things, the fear of failure often seems predominant. Fear of failure often emanates from any action that has any element of risk in it, for risk means that there's no room for failure. Failure is often personalized as being a negative commentary on our worth and value as people. Therefore, we fear that failure will reveal us as inadequate, inferior, or just plain stupid. Avoidance of failure then means avoidance of any action wherein we would risk failing, and there are few actions that don't have a risk of failure. With that being the case, we bypass most of life's opportunities and live constrained and constricted, and there is no independence in this. We also forfeit independence through low self-esteem. Self-esteem is the manner in which people view themselves as either positive or negative, capable or incapable, gifted or impoverished, good or bad. It can be incredibly liberating, or it can be entirely imprisoning. Typically, our self-esteem is based more on other people's views of us throughout our lifetime than who or what we really are. It's amazing, yet devastating, how so many people view themselves as weak, inadequate, and grossly incapable, when in reality they possess abilities that are strong, rich, robust, and even magnificent. Self-esteem is most often deceptive, leading us to believe that we are ugly ducklings, when in reality we are stunning swans. We live out whatever our self-perception is, and because that's the case, we live lives constrained and fettered by limitations that in reality we don't have at all. There's no independence in this. And so, yes, there are constraints beyond fear and low self-esteem, many more than room to discuss here, but these are real, and they're confining. And as they accumulate and build on each other, we soon find ourselves living constrained, imprisoned, and fettered lives without even knowing that we're held tight and held fast, caged in some prison of our own making. We think ourselves to be free and independent when we're nothing of the sort. It sometimes seems better to think that you're independent than face things that are in reality holding you fast and imprisoning you. So we often live imprisoned, thinking it to be independence. Well, how do we abuse independence? Well, you know, there's some responsibilities around independence. On the flip side of this idea of independence, George Bernard Shaw wrote, "Liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it." Independence does not mean the ability to act without an understanding of how one's actions impose on the freedom of another. It does not mean living flagrantly by immersing ourselves in the selfish swill of our own agendas. In actuality, functioning in independence is a whole lot more difficult because we carry the responsibility of understanding that we have a responsibility to those around us. Our exercise of independence then must be tempered to embrace the good of the common man. Therefore, independence is exercised with responsibility. But independence is sometimes confused with entitlement, and when we do that, independence goes bad. We assume some sort of right or privilege to do what we want, when we want. Entitlement tells us that life owes us the right to do as we please, when we please, however we please. Along with that presumed right, entitlement tells us that life owes us all of the necessary and desired resources to live how we please. We use entitlement disguised as independence to feed our agendas and justify the exercise of them. Opposition to our actions is labeled as a violation of our independence, thereby giving us presumed license to justify our actions, regardless of how deviant, self-absorbed, and destructive those actions might be. Well, I think in managing independence and dealing with it rightly, we need a guiding morality. Independence robbed of a firm set of ethics and morals turns into license, which has nothing to do with independence. Independence is not so independent that it does not need a firmly guiding force itself. Independence without a guiding force devolves into personalized agendas under the guise of independence. Personalized agendas do not take into account the greater good of our shared humanity, but rather they presume some sort of bestowed entitlement that whatever all of this is all about, it's all about me. Entitlement is not likely to embrace ethics or morals that are deemed as intrusive or diminishing to whatever we view our entitlements as being. Therefore, without an overarching set of morals and ethics to provide a guiding and tempering function, independence is certain to devolve into entitlement and careen out of control, creating a culture pulled in a myriad of destructive and fragmenting directions. We must remember that independence is not self-seeking, nor is it focused only on the exercise of independence for the self. In this sense, it is decisively and irreparably set apart from entitlement. Rather, genuine independence seeks to recognize that independence for all ensures independence for the individual. Genuine independence recognizes that independence exercised at the expense of another has nothing to do with independence. Additionally, independence for all creates a larger culture within which this shared independence enriches everyone. And that is far from entitlement and nothing of the stuff of selfishness. And so I would encourage you to take inventory of the things that imprison you, whatever they may be. Pinpoint and work to root them out of your life, whether those be fear, low self-esteem, or something else. Let yourself be a genuine, independent person and to experience an independence that will allow you to be everything you're capable of being. Additionally, I would encourage you to see your independence as a privilege, not a right. View it as something to be exercised for the common good, not the selfish ambitions of the single individual, which in reality is nothing more and nothing less than entitlement. Exercise your independence in a manner that maximizes all that you are and gives room for those around you to do the same. Can you imagine the kind of world we would have if this were to be done? If you want to experience that kind of independence, understand that this change of attitude and behavior begins with you. Do it. And as you do, let me be the first to welcome you to true, deep, and personally liberating independence.
Thank you for joining us for Life Talk. For further information or additional resources, please visit www.craiglpc.com.